You're listening to News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained since January 1997. We began our 25th year in broadcasting in January 2022, and we're just getting started, exploring the edge of human consciousness and possibility on planet Earth with founder and journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm. What's really real? And what's really possible? That is what we want to know. Join us at newsforthesoul.com. Newsforthesoul.com.
Daniel Brinkley.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our heart and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
The Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. We're back for our second hour. What you just heard at the beginning of was actually the third hour, so it'll be back too. That was our interview of Dr. Lee Poulos, who's working on some amazing stuff. We do some stuff that's pretty amazing actually right during the show. So if you haven't heard that one's a classic from our archives. It'll be on the third hour. This hour, we have something really exciting that I've been looking forward to getting back to for some time, several months, and he's here, Dr. Albert Taylor, out-of-body expert, soul traveler. That was your book, right?
Yes, that's
soul traveler. And judging from our first conversation, that is certainly what we are talking about here. If you missed our first show with Dr. Albert Taylor, it is in the archives. Listen to it later, not now, because he's here now. But, you know, it was a shocking surprise to me. First of all, welcome back, Dr. Taylor, to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
Well, I've been looking forward to talking to you again. It sort of threw me for a loop. You know, the first time we talked and you were talking about sort of the symptoms and signs of when someone was starting to pull out of their body, and we talked about that roaring sound and that pulling forward sensation at mock speed. And as you were telling all this stuff to the listeners, I'm thinking, I've had that.
Right. I get that so often, too.
I bet you do.
Yeah. A lot of people, when I tell them, I mean, they... And, you know, without somebody just telling you what it is, you think you're the only one having that experience and you don't connect it to the out-of-body. But when I start sharing about all the little things that lead up to it, so many people say, oh, my God, that's what that is.
Yeah.
I thought it was just me.
I know, because there's no frame of reference for it. You can't put it in
right,
anything.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's just,
they don't teach it in school.
Yeah, and you don't hear anyone saying, oh, geez, I was roaring and being pulled out of my body last
exactly.
night.
Exactly. Not something you tell anybody.
No.
Because you kind of think, you know, am I going crazy? And you don't want anybody to think that you're strange, but the reality of it is there's the majority of us out there. About 70% of the people are having these experiences and can remember them. The other 30% are having the experiences and can't remember them.
Well, it's just so far beyond the realm of this 3D existence experience, you know,
mm-hmm.
that really, you're right. I mean, there must be so many people out there all going, what the hell? And I tried telling one person, they told me I had some horrible disease. I didn't tell anybody again, you know. I kept really tight-lipped on it after that. But, you know, this has to be rampant. If it's that common where you're getting that coming up everywhere, you're telling the story. it's got to be, you know, a major issue. So I really wanted to get back in there and go over this again. Now, where we left off was we had covered, you know, your story of how this was happening to you earlier in life and your discovery process around what it was and experimenting with it. And then you were telling me about the steps of how to essentially induce this exploration.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to pick it up there.
Is that where we left off?
And do it again, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a good place to start.
Yeah, because, you know, I'll tell you why. Because I came home and I actually had my car blow up like 5 minutes after that show that night, and all heck broke loose for a while.
Blow up?
It, pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
I was actually stranded in the States for like 6 days, and by the time I got home, because at the end of that show, I thought, oh, I've got a great idea. We've got a team of remote viewers in Vancouver area and through online, through some of the training we've been doing. And I emailed them. I said, who's in? Listen to the show. See if you want to do this, and we can go meet somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, you
Rendezvous.
Know. Yeah. So I want to do like a scheduled virtual event or something, mm-hmm. and really do experiments with this. I think this is cool stuff. So
I think experiments in human consciousness is something that is extremely fascinating, and actually you end up getting results from it.
It's
amazing. More cases than not.
Yeah, well,
it's amazing
it was,
what we're capable of doing.
And your steps and the outline was so clear, I thought, wow, we could really do this and actually track and document, you know, what results we do get. And we could even do it with listeners on the air.
Definitely. That's the best thing about it. And that's why the book is successful, Nicole, because you got to remember, it's my diary. It's not a book, really. I mean, it is now, but originally it started off just being a journal that I was keeping for myself. I had no idea that it would become as widespread as it is, and the only reason that it is widespread is because 70 to 80% of people out there can relate to it and actually accomplish and achieve these type of things. That's the only reason.
And of course,
it's not about just my story. It's everybody's story. It's our story.
Well, and the cool thing about this is you don't have to be like Danyon and get your butt fired off.
Yeah, you
don't
have to get electrocuted.
You know, that sounds painful.
You don't have to get blasted out of your shoes.
I mean, he's always not joking about the short course where you, you know, stick a fork in the light socket or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have to induce it.
No.
It's something, and the thing about it that's really wonderful versus the near-death experience is that you can repeat it over and over again until the last day of this, you know, of your existence. Over and over again, you can have numerous out-of-body experiences. You
How
know,
many
and,
have you
and
had?
And the thing about it, you know, not to knock the near-death experience, because I mean they didn't plan on that. Usually, it just happens to people. You know, 99.5% of the time, it was a total shock to them. But the thing about it, imagine if you—it's like an airplane, you know, like a reconnaissance airplane. Imagine if you were flying into uncharted territory one time and you came back, versus flying over there many, many, many times and charting the area and coming back. You're going to gather so much information versus that one trip. That's what's going to, and that information is going to literally change your life completely. You will never, ever be the same. And the near-death experience, of course, you're never the same usually in that those cases, too.
Mm-hmm.
But you can build upon information and go back and find out even more. And it literally will change your life. And what it does is it wakes you up to who you really and who you are and what you really are.
So you don't just stay here. Well, first of all, how many times do you figure you've gone out of your body and tripped around at night?
Countless. Because it's been happening to me since I was five.
So that
I'd
would
say
be,
countless.
That would be
I
wow.
have no idea. It happens about, without me trying, about once a week.
Wow.
So you put all those weeks together, and I'm, you know, I'm 48 years old. You can do the math.
So you've been on a few.
It wasn't until about maybe 13, 14 years ago that I actually started planning my routes and inducing it. But normally, even if I don't think about it or try, it just happens to me once a week.
So you're not just going places on Earth.
Oh, no. Stopped doing that a long time ago. That got boring.
Oh, boring.
There's like there's so many places, non-physical locations that you never, ever would dream of. I mean, didn't even know existed. That is just everything here pales in comparison. there's no place on the physical world, on the physical planet, on the planet Earth, that can hold a candle to the non-physical realm and experiences that you can have.
So
that's the wake-up call right there. See, it's not about I can leave my body. It's about having these non-physical experiences in locales that, you know, only exist in another plane. That's the wake-up. That's where you realize, oh, my God, I'm just a visitor here. That's where I really come from. That's where I really reside. And that's where we all go back to.
Now, again, coming from my only frame of reference, which was the roaring thing and that
mm-hmm.
pulling force, you know, what I clearly know was that it was so real. It wasn't, you know, I'm not the least bit fuzzy on the issue.
Right.
You know, it was so different and so awake, and I was so hyper aware because it was so strange, you know. Is it like that, that level of awareness? You're still you. You're out of your body, but you're that aware and awake. And
well, the way I describe it, Nicole, is I say if you think it was a dream, it probably was. Because the experience that I'm talking about, it stays with you forever. You never forget it. It is nothing like anything you've ever experienced. It is, and no matter how much time passes, it is just like it happened yesterday. You remember every detail of it. That's the experience. Because really, you know, a long time ago, they used to call that a subconscious experience. But really, and I like to use the phrase superconscious experience,
mm-hmm.
because that's what it is.
It's more,
you know,
real than...
You're leaving this and going to... And the potential, I mean, there's no limits to it. You could go to an all-knowing level. Well, literally, and that's happened to me a few times. Only thing about it is when you come back, you forget a lot of things. But you go to a level that, and this is the only way I can describe it, and it's so incredibly powerful, is that for the first time in my existence, my entire life that I can ever, ever remember, I had no questions about anything. Zero.
Wow.
All I had to do was think about it, and I knew the answer. It's such an incredible, super conscious level, and like Danyan always says, we're powerful spiritual beings. When you get into that conscious level, you get to experience how powerful that you really are. And it will change you forever. You never, ever will forget it, and it will be so intense and vivid that it's nothing like a dream ever could be.
Wow.
Dreams fade. Some dreams we don't even remember, but this sticks with you. And that's the thing, and it changes your waking life, too. Most dreams don't. You go,
right.
Oh, yeah, I had a dream that I was doing this. But this changes everything you are, the encounters you have with people and who you think you are. When you look in the mirror, you see something different. You don't see yourself the way you used to.
So
that's how profound it is.
Have you gone to this place of the tunnel and the light and all that stuff? Have you gone there?
And the thing is that when you're going through it in the near-death experience, a lot of times you perceive it as a tunnel. In the out-of-body experience, you're not being drawn anywhere, so you're going there because you choose to. And what happens is, and the slower you go, what you realize is that there's a separation of like realms. And in that separation of realms, meaning the physical realm and then the next level and then whatever is after that, there's this void of nothing. Well, if you're going through there at an accelerated rate, and especially if there's other light beings there, then you're going to perceive movement and it's going to appear to be like a tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine going through this, you know, it's like you've seen it in Star Trek. When they're moving through the stars real quick and the stars are moving all around them, it appears to be like a tunnel. So that's what I discovered, that, and I wrote about that void area. And some people who had near-death experiences who go through it a lot slower, you know, and end up in this void of nothingness. And but a lot of them have described seeing other people along the way. So if they're, you know, so the faster you go, the more tunnel-like the experience
is. Is that the place that Danyan calls the blue-gray place?
The blue-gray?
Yeah.
It might be, because, you know, what we're talking about, we're not talking about vision, meaning that, you know, a light ray comes through the lens in my eyes and is, you know, reflected off the retina and it's interpreted through the optic nerve and the information sent to the brain. We're not talking about light rays. What we're talking about is a perception of soul, how you perceive it. And how you perceive it has to do with how you can relate, and how you relate this type of, because I guess it's like more energy or a sensation than anything, how you perceive it. So you can perceive it as, you know, a void. You can perceive it as a light gray area, a nothingness, as a friend of mine, William Bowman, has described it. So it's a perception, but I believe that it's arose by any other name.
But
it's
when you get through the nothing,
same place.
When you get through the nothing, do you see stuff then?
There's the first level. The first level, a lot of metaphysicians called it the astral plane. You know, that's the astral realm.
Okay.
And the astral realm, part of it is here and part of it is not here. So that's the first level. And what you, there's, okay, and when you go into that level, everything is populated. Nothing is really empty in these different realms. It may be a little void, it may be empty in between the realms, but when you get into the realms, everything is populated. And when I mean populated by other souls just like you. Some of them will be maybe, and this is not a judgment call, not as evolved, and the first level, the lesser evolved spirits or souls are at that level, and they populate that level. The confused souls populate that first lower level.
And do you
but
see
as
them?
You go higher and the vibratory rate of your consciousness changes and increases, as you do that, then you begin to have more, for lack of a better word, angelical-like encounters, light being encounters, the light, that kind of thing, the higher and higher you go. But that first level, you can run into all kinds of souls who is, most of them are confused because the afterlife is not exactly what they were taught it was going to be.
And you've actually interacted?
Oh, definitely. That's the part. See, I can't say I was willing and open-minded to that. I was terrified of spirits when I was a kid, and even as an adult. I didn't want to run into any ghosts.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to run into any dead people. That wasn't something that I really looked forward to. So it was terrifying to encounter something else out there that could actually interact with me and talk and speak and touch me.
And it touched you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't say physical, but you get the sensation of touch.
Wow.
So all of that was frightening. And then, like I wrote in my book, I had encounters with my aunt who passed away 10 years before. And I even thought, you can't be here. I don't even believe in this stuff. But repeatedly, I had experiences with her. And it's very different from just, like, bumping into a neighbor. Because not only do you perceive them, which you think you see them, because it's you have a vision. It's not light vision like normal like we have, but it is a vision. But not only do you have that experience, but you sense them. So you can feel the emotions and things that they're generating. Meaning if they are generating an incredible amount of love toward you, you feel and you sense that.
So
it's an incredible experience. And one of the things is when you're in that altered state, every emotion that you can experience is magnified tenfold. So not only is it going to be feel like the most intense love that you've ever experienced before, but on the other hand, if you're very fearful, it's going to be the most intense fear you've ever felt before.
Oh, great.
But the thing about it, see, because of its intensity, that's what convinces you it's justified, but it's really not. It's just because it's very you're very sensitive to all kinds of emotions. So the key here is to, first of all, try to suspend as much fear as you can, but that's difficult. I get a lot of letters from people saying, how do I overcome the fear? Well, the only way you can overcome the fear is to keep revisiting the area and realizing that there's nothing to fear, that nothing has happened to you.
Which, of course,
if you really want to be afraid to get up in the morning and go to the ATM or get on the freeway. That's the scariest part of our existence. Over there, everything is very different. It's nothing like here. Over there, you're welcome. Over there is where you're truly, truly loved. Over there is where you're accepted. Over there is home. This isn't. This is a place we visit to learn things, but this isn't home.
So it's more challenging and more scary and more all of the negative energies are here more
right,
than here.
Right. To wake up in the morning and go out into the real world is 100 times more scarier than any time you would go on the other side.
And yet,
that's home.
And yet,
and that's where you love.
Theory.
And it's not governed by the things that we have here. It's not governed by jealousy and hate and discrimination and manipulation and control and all the little things that make us human.
Hmm.
None of that exists over there, except the one thing that I do find that exists is the intense love and emotions and fear.
So the duality is still there in those emotions, huh?
Yeah, that's still, I think that's because that's a part of us. We take that into that area because that's a part of us. Just like we choose to be angry here, over there, you know, first of all, anger is based on something. Anger is based on something that is not occurring the way you want it to. Over there, because you accept everything the way it is, there's no anger. Everything is happening, and you understand that. Everything is happening just as it should. So you feel you don't. Anger is something that's generated by us to cause change. We need to change something. We don't like something the way it is. But over there, because you're in a superconscious state, you understand that things are just the way they should be, so anger can't really exist.
Well, it's usually control. So you feel more in control over there?
You are if you focus on being, yes. But most people, without someone sharing it with them that you are, most people feel out of control and lost.
Hmm.
Because you don't readily, because of coming from being human, having a human experience, and having five senses telling you, you know, giving you information about your surroundings, coming from that and going into that situation, and because all our teachings and religious teachings and all those things that we have here that are taught to us about the afterlife, when you go over there, a lot of times you're lost and confused because it's a lot of times it's not like you were taught or like you expected, and plus you don't have your five senses. It's very different. You have other senses that you can't readily remember how they function, so you are lost for a certain period of time. That's why it takes a lot of repeat visits to regain that understanding of how things function and how to release the way things function here. Don't take over there the things that you think, you know, the human experience, because it doesn't apply.
How
many? Physics, the laws of physics, time and space don't apply over there at all.
How many senses do we have over there, do you think?
That's hard to say, because we're talking about a consciousness that's capable of doing perceiving almost anything.
Hmm.
I haven't found, and I would say multiple, because I haven't found any limitations to it yet, and I've been exploring that. So, oh yes, sight, hearing, all the things that we have here, you can perceive that, but then you can perceive different, what we call time periods, things that have happened long ago, things that are yet to happen.
Hmm.
So, and different locations, physical, non-physical. So I haven't, and the only thing I can say is I have to go back to what Daniel said. You're a powerful spiritual being, and that means limitless. That means every physical law, the law of physics, does not apply to this consciousness that we have. It is capable of doing things that readily, I think the brain really cannot perceive what that consciousness is capable of doing.
So, is it like, you know, when we come here, we come in and there's somebody there, you know, helping you and taking care of you right away as soon as you get here, basically, you know, upon arrival. Is it not like that over there?
Okay, that's I get that question. They say, how can people get over there and get lost?
Uh-huh.
Well, there's no time over there. So, that you know, in their perception, it may seem like an hour, 100 years of time, but there is no time, so eventually someone is going to come along. But you can't judge it based on time like we do here. You're born into this world, and immediately, within that minute, 30 seconds of you being born, someone is caring for you. Well, over there, there's no time, but you will be cared for. So you can't judge it. So that's the same reason that when a person dies and you hear about ghosts, haunting a house or a castle for 200-300 years, and you wonder, well, why haven't they gone on to the next stage of the afterlife? Well, eventually they will, but it has nothing to do with the time, what we call time here. Eventually someone, a higher self, will come along, a relative or something will come along and help escort that person on. A lot of times, if you feel like you're supposed to stay in a certain location, or you're waiting for Saint Peter or Gabriel to blow his horn, sometimes because you are a powerful being, you trap yourself in that reality. It doesn't mean that it's real, but you trap yourself in there. But eventually, because we're not alone in any way, shape, or form, eventually something very, let's say, more evolved than ourselves will come along and assist you to the next level of your experience, of your afterlife experience.
In a non-linear form, it's almost the same as someone being here. Okay.
Exactly. And that's so hard to even fathom.
It is.
That there's another existence that's not governed by time. You know, I don't even know if I could even understand it if I hadn't experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
well, that's
it's
the thing
so
about
unlike
it.
Anything that we know with these five senses and this consciousness, this lower consciousness.
That's right.
You know, but what's wonderful about it is that you can experience it. And when you do experience it, that's when you'll understand. It's like, you know, it's not about belief anymore, Nicole. It's not, my belief has nothing to do with this. It's about the experience that's taught me this. Because I was raised Catholic. Catholic school, they don't talk about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was never taught this stuff. But when I had the experience, it doesn't matter what I'm taught from that point on. My belief system cannot dictate to this experience. This experience has brought on a knowing of, I just know how it is. And I totally accept it, and it totally makes sense to me.
And you've got instructions to let other people know how it is, so why don't we take a quick break and we'll get more into this.
Okay.
Stand by. Don't go anywhere. Don't leave your body. Stay with us. This is News for the Soul. Our guest, Dr. Albert Taylor, out-of-body expert, author of Soul Traveler. We're going to be right back in a minute or two. Don't go away. Here's a moment dedicated to your empowerment, brought to you by James Ray.
Hi, this is James Arthur Ray. Everyone talks about transcending the ego, but how do we make this important mystical principle a practical reality in our lives? Ego is a Latin term simply meaning I. Therefore, your ego is nothing more than the identity and world model you have created in your own mind. Are you with me? The challenge is that left unchecked, you build a life of rote and routine that steals the very juice and adventure that you're here to experience. One way to tame your ego is to take it off guard. Break your routine. Do something your current self-image could never imagine you doing. Here's an example. For 3 years, I disciplined myself to get up at 4 a.m. every morning to exercise and meditate, no matter what time I'd gone to bed, and no matter how I felt when I woke up. As you might imagine, this was tough, and my ego often screamed like mad. After 3 years, this practice had become a habit, so it was time to change again. This time, I would sleep until I woke up on my own, no matter what. If my eyes opened at noon, so be it. I changed my schedule to accommodate my sleep, and the whole thing really drove my ego mad. The internal chatter told me I was lazy and unproductive. Believe it or not, I longed to go back to those 4 a.m. wake-up calls. The once uncomfortable had become comfortable. But you know what? The best time to prove you are a spiritual warrior and truly in charge of your own life is when your ego nags you not to do something that is uncomfortable. Do it anyway. Do crazy things to break habitual routines that could dull your senses and steal your power, like take ice-cold showers if you're used to hot ones. This will really tick your ego off. Eat while others are sleeping. Sleep when others are working. Move frequently, or at least change your environment, living situations. Break your routine. Give away your favorite piece of clothing or furniture, just to prove to ego self that you are non-attached and not defined by externals. Do this, and remind yourself that you are committed to a life of power, not weakness. that you are in charge, not your whiny energy vampire ego or even your physical body. So let me ask you, do you need a certain lifestyle or level of comfort, predictability, or control for your happiness? How much energy do you expend daily on projecting and protecting your desired self-image? How much of your life is lived in a routine and a rut? And most importantly, how can you shake things up and reclaim your power? This is James Arthur Ray, asking you to stop the world and use the principles you're learning here to realize your infinite self.
Find out more about James Ray by visiting jamesray.com/win. That's jamesray.com/win. And tune in next week to hear more here on News for the Soul. And let's get back to the show. This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained, here with Dr. Albert Taylor, out-of-body expert. He knows what he's talking about. He goes there. And we're going to go there, possibly, because he's got a system that you can follow, a step-by-step system to explore this phenomenon yourself so that you're not just hearing another person talking at a show. You're actually going to have a chance to come from experience on this if you haven't already. So, Dr. Taylor, maybe we can recap on the steps that you talked about the first time that we talked.
Okay, in a nutshell, it's really simple. There's no rituals to it. You don't have to put your bed at a certain angle or facing north or any of that. What is happening is, and we do it every night, we're just not aware of it. That's why you can relate to the different types of sounds and things that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is then when we fall asleep every night, our consciousness gradually begins to ignore the information that the five senses are sending to it. Sound, sight, smell, touch, and all those. When you get to the point where the consciousness is no longer monitoring the five senses, that's when you get to the altered state of consciousness. And that altered state of consciousness is that's when the door opens to super consciousness. So what you want to do is you want to be able to induce this. And when you induce this, that means just try to duplicate what happens naturally. So the first thing is that when you fall asleep, you lay perfectly still. The second thing that happens is that you begin to relax your muscles. The third thing that happens is your breathing becomes very systematic and very deep. And that's what you want to do. So first thing you do, lay perfectly still. Get all the scratching out of the way. Don't, you know, all the itching and everything you're going to do. Lay comfortable. It's very important because your body's not going to be moving. It's not like tossing and turning and having an out-of-body experience. The reason your body tosses and turns is because the soul consciousness is still occupying the body. When you have an out-of-body experience, the body doesn't move anymore. It's just a bit like a pair of clothing without you in them anymore. It will lay there until you put it back on.
Does it breathe?
Yes, it does breathe because that's an automatic biological response. That's something it just does automatically by itself.
Oh, good.
And you don't have to think about breathing. You just do.
Okay.
So that's the first thing. You want to get all that out of the way. Now, there's several ways of relaxing the body, relaxing the muscles. Tightening them up, tensing them, holding it for a few moments, then relaxing them, and then and visualizing the energy or tension in the muscles kind of melting down into the bed. This is one way. There are many, many others, and I list a few of them in my book, but the one that I find works very, very well, and not just for me, for other people, is the tightening the muscles and the relaxing the muscles. You want to do this systematically, so you have to work on your feet and start moving up the body and try to do that and include every muscle in your body. And then if you miss some, go back over your body, scan back down, and tighten the muscles in the arms and the abdomen and everything until you get to that point where you'll feel heavier. You'll feel the weight of the body because when you're in a relaxed state, the body becomes very, very dense or feels dense.
Mm.
And then most people before you accomplish, you even finish this one Passover of this, most people fall asleep. Well, that's okay, because that's what you're trying to do, is duplicate that. The thing about it is that I found is that the one of the ways to keep from falling asleep is to go to bed early, maybe about 9 o'clock, set your alarm clock for about 1 o'clock in the morning. So you want to sleep about 4 to 5 hours. Then wake up. You have to get up out of the bed for a few minutes and walk around. Don't eat or drink. You can drink water maybe. Then go back to bed and now perform the relaxation routine. So what happens is, for some odd reason, when you interrupt the sleep pattern, the consciousness doesn't readily fall asleep the second time around with the body like it does the first time around. The first time, you're going to drift into a heavy REM sleep. But the second time, after 1 o'clock, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, the body will fall asleep, but the consciousness will stay alert. And that's when most people find themselves in that paralysis state, because that's what it is. If you go to bed in the early, like about 10, normally, without setting your alarm, most people who experience paralysis experience it after waking up into it between 1 and 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm. But now what we're doing is we're planning this experience. So that's what you want to do if you fall asleep, if you can't do it initially. Some people are very, very gifted and are capable of doing it initially. But for those of us like me who aren't, who end up falling asleep, the interrupted technique seems to work and help us.
Okay.
So that's what you want to do. And then systematically to lay there and go through every muscle in your body until your body falls asleep. And your body will fall asleep. No matter how you try to keep it awake, it will fall asleep. It's kind of like if you've ever been in a car and you've driven for a long, long distance and you're tired, and no matter how you're trying to stay awake, you feel sleepy, and no matter how you try to stay awake, for that brief second, your body nods out. Everybody has experienced that. Hopefully you wake back up. But everybody has experienced that. No matter how hard you try, and sometimes you have to roll down the windows because your body for that instant, it nods out. Well, that's what you're trying to do, is get to that state. But now you're in a safe place. You're in your bed, and you don't have to worry about that. So all you want to do is keep the consciousness around for a brief period of time to allow enough time for the physical body to fall asleep. And once the physical body falls asleep, then all the information you're getting from your five senses is interrupted. And now your consciousness turns to that other part of it, that superconscious level, where it's capable of not only moving the doppelganger astral body, if you want to call it, out of the physical body, but it's also capable of perceiving non-physical realities and beings in those realities.
Wow.
That's it in a nutshell.
That's hard to say it in a nutshell,
but that's kind of it. But I go into and I want to experiment, because there's no one way of doing this. There's a lot of different ways. And I list about five different ways. Not every way is going to work for everyone. But and that's what I say, you know, try a bunch of them until you find one that kind of works for you. And even when you find one that works for you, feel free to modify it accordingly.
Okay. So it's not set in stone. It's about what works for you.
Exactly.
Soul Traveler is the book, right? Soul Traveler?
Mm-hmm. It's in there. Last chapter.
Mm-hmm. What's your website?
It's www.alberttaylor.com.
Okay, good. That's easy. alberttaylor.com. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put this out there. If you're listening and you're not on our e-news subscription list yet, get on it if you want to take part in this. What I'm going to do is I will send out your website and the name of your book and, you know, a link to this show and the previous show. And we'll set something up where we actually put it out there, like, okay, on this day, we're all going to, whoever wants to participate in this experiment, we're going to do this, and we'll meet, you know, there, and see you there.
Okay, can I like to add one more thing
to
that?
Yes, please do.
The real important thing to do for everyone is to immediately after returning and waking up to write it all down.
Oh.
That's really important, because you'd be surprised how many experiences will match when you write it down. And a lot of people tell me, oh, I'll remember. Well, the thing is that you will remember, but the emotional impact the experience had on you will fade away, and you want to capture that in what you write down. So it's important to write it down immediately after waking up, after the experience.
And hopefully they'll write it down in an email and send it to us. And
that would be fascinating, fantastic. I would love that.
And then we can post it up.
I would love
that. And so will you join us?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. I look forward to experimenting with that. The more the merrier.
This sounds like fun.
It is. It is the most fun you could ever, ever, ever have.
Well, I hope so.
It is.
I've done a lot of funny things, you know, but I can see. You know, that's what I've got to ask you. I know that already this is just whooshed by, and I've got a million things. We've got to have you back again. But I've got to ask this. Like, where did you get to a point where you kind of went, well, I'm bored, you know, this kind of pop. Where you made the decision to go off planet.
That happened by accident. I wasn't,
oh, really?
The physical off planet, yes, okay, because I'm an engineer scientist. I was in the space program, yes. I want to see what the moon looks like. I want to see what space. That was the physical thing I wanted to do. But the non-physical stuff is something that as you become more experienced in this, what happens is your consciousness is evolving. And as your consciousness evolves, all of a sudden you have access to non-physical realms. Some of us have access already, but as you become more acquainted with it and more experienced and the fear is diminished, all of a sudden you realize you have access. So that access first started off with me encountering my aunt, who had died 10 years before. And then from that point on, when I saw her, I didn't believe in ghosts and dead people and all that, but I had to admit that this person, to me, appears to be my aunt. And then when I had that emotional interaction with her where we're exchanging information, it not only did I sense and how she was feeling and everything, but it stayed with me. It didn't go away, where it removed the fear of death completely, because I realized from my interaction with her is, oh my God, I'm just like her, except one thing, I have a physical body to go back to.
Wow. See, this is why I'm interested in getting the remote viewers involved in the experiment, because what you're talking about, like this open search outward is sort of the equivalent term that we talk about doing in our sessions, but it's so different because it's not like I know what I'm looking at in a session. I'm decoding waveform data, but I don't go, oh, there's Bob and he's, you know, dead, and we're talking.
Right.
You know, it's not clear like that.
Well, people always ask me, what is the difference between remote viewing and having an out-of-body experience? And I always tell them, remote viewing is like watching a football game on television, and out-of-body experience is like being the quarterback on the field.
Oh, yeah, see, That makes sense to me.
You're interacting. You're there.
Mm-hmm.
And remote viewing is gathering data. It's like being a camera up in the corner of the room observing something.
Yes.
And that's okay, too, because that's just another talent of the soul.
And it's decoding.
Interaction is fun.
Yeah. Well, and you don't necessarily ever want to know, like, because you don't want to be front-loading with analytical overlay in the conscious mind is a huge battle for remote viewing. So it's not even like being a camera. It's like you're decoding things, and you don't even know what it is. So it's less real in that sense. So I'm really intrigued to see what we can do here.
And I think that's just, you know, remote viewing is a talent of the soul. The out-of-body experience is you traveling in your soul. That's what your soul would do if you died.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it does.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be doing that.
And again,
and matter of fact, when you're having an out-of-body experience, that's as dead as you're ever going to get. That's it.
Wow. Yeah, sounds like fun. Woo, sign me up.
It is the ultimate experience.
Wow. There is nothing
to compare to it.
I believe it. Having experienced that initial pulling, roaring thing, you know, it was so real and so intense. And this is the thing, I always heard other people talking about out-of-body experience and sort of they're visualizing floating up and, you know, they're visualizing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, people I've talked to about this before, but they weren't talking about what you're talking about and what I felt.
Yeah, visualization is very different.
Very, yeah. This is a physical...
And it's like, you know, people are asking, you know, I hear about meditation. In the Western world, we aren't that aware of what real meditation is. And I hear people out here all the time, because I belong to one of the oldest metaphysical research facilities in Southern California, and I sit in and listen to other instructors teach meditation, And what they are really teaching is visualization.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation is something very, very different. When you meditate, you're blocking out the information that the five senses gives you. And when that happens, you won't say, oh, yeah, I saw a lady and a woman, and that's visualization, and I was walking down a path in the forest, and that's visualization. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
not profound. That's okay. Meditation, you go, oh, my God. I experienced, you just go, oh, my God, what was that? Because you get this surge of everything, power, knowledge, being, understanding, consciousness, everything is just, it kicks you into a whole new realm that is so incredibly powerful. When you come back from the meditation, you're different.
Hmm.
You're different because the experience changes you because it's so incredibly intense.
Wow.
Visualization is not like that.
No. You know, they talk about quieting the mind and relaxing a bit, but that's not what you're talking about.
No. You have to empty the mind. It has to not focus on anything, really. You can focus on maybe one thing. It has to be simplified, but you can't visualize. And visualize is okay in one regard, because sometimes visualization can allow you to allow the body to relax and fall asleep. But ultimately, you don't want to visualize, because right when you're just about to fall asleep normally, you're not visualizing. You're not doing anything. You're just about to transition, and that's what you want to do, is to transition from the waking state and all the information we're being bombarded with to an inner state which only perceives what it wants to perceive.
You know, on that note, before we close this up, and I put this, you know, challenge out there in our e-news, we should actually recap on so that they know what to expect. You know, like if they do hear the roaring or
mm-hmm.
some of the things that can sort of throw people off and put them into fear a little bit, maybe just kind of recapping what they can expect and how they get through it.
Okay, I like to call these road signs. They let you know you're headed in the right direction.
Okay.
Well, the first thing you experience is you may feel a heaviness to your physical body. The second thing you may experience is you feel like you can't breathe, or you feel like you're having some breathing problems, and it's nothing to be alarmed at. What is happening is you're releasing control of the breath, the physical body, and you're transitioning to another state, and that's hard for people to do because we're conditioned to force ourselves to breathe and to be in control of breath.
Yep.
So you may feel that. It depends. The slower you go through the transitioning from fully awake to the super conscious level of the out-of-body experience, the slower you go, the more things you're going to experience. The next thing you might experience is you may feel a vibration, like your body is trembling. And it's not like a shaking. It's more like an oscillation. It's really almost something that you would think you could put an oscilloscope on and measure. It's a vibration. You'll feel that. The next thing you may experience after that is you may perceive and think you hear different types of noises. And these noises are going to be at extreme volume, very, very loud. Like you may hear a loud buzzing. You may hear a loud roaring. I mean, extremely loud. After that, you may feel paralyzed, like you cannot move your physical body. You may feel like you are no longer in control of your body, which is a good thing, because to exit the body and to levitate out of the body or float out of the body, you don't want to feel the physical body anymore. But the thing is once you get to that state, if you don't know any better, you don't know that you have another body that you control, a non-physical body, a subtle body, an astral body. So if you do know that, and that's why I put it in my book, and that's why I'm sharing this with you now, if you find yourself in that paralyzed state, realize you have something else. And that other body, it functions on thought alone, not electrical signals coming from the brain, stimulating muscles, causing them to contract. It operates on thought. So if you want to move your simulated hand, because it's not really a hand, but it feels like one, if you want to move that, all you have to do is think it or say, I want. If you want to float upward, all you have to do is say, I want to float upward. A lot of times when you get in that state, you can't see. Everything appears to be black, darkened out. All you have to say is, I want to see. A friend of mine, William Williams, says, clarity now. And all of a sudden, you can see. It's going to be a little bit different. It's not going to be like the light that you see coming from one direction now in our waking state. Everything you see is going to appear to have its own kind of light. So it's going to be very, very different. After that, if you go past the paralysis, even sometimes without wanting to float upward, all of a sudden you may feel movement, and you may feel as that now you're starting to float. Some people I've known who have gone to that stage and didn't know they can control that state have felt out of control. The body's, the astral body with them in it is moving all around the room, flipping upside down, and they panic. And because they don't know that you're really in control.
Oh, I hope I don't do that.
Well, now that you know, I'm telling you now, you are in control. Absolute control. But if you don't know that, anything could happen.
Okay.
But you are in control. So if you want to walk and float down to the floor, you can. If you want to float upward, if you want to fly, you can. You are capable of doing almost, I say, 99% of anything you focus your thoughts on.
So when I was feeling that pulling forward really fast, what stage was that?
That's the separation stage.
So
once that's moving the consciousness and the astral form moving away from the body.
So
it can feel like a pulling. It can feel like a rolling. It can feel like a floating. The thing is there's a sensation of movement.
So I was there. I was right on the cusp.
You were definitely there. You were milliseconds from being completely out.
Because that's the thing.
If you want to measure it in time.
I freaked out. Like, as soon as I would get pulled, I would make it, like, my instinct would be to make it stop.
Right. Because it's the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
No one had prepared you for it.
That's right.
You don't know what's going to happen. So, and unfortunately, we as humans automatically assume that because we don't know what's going to happen, it's probably going to be something bad.
Or scary.
That's how we've been conditioned to survive.
Yeah.
Because if we hear a crack, you know, when we were running around and with loincloths back, in, you know, 200,000 years ago, when you hear a crack or a twig snap in the darkness, the way we were programmed is that it's possibly a predator, and an unknown thing means to fight or flee.
Right.
So that's why you have to suppress that. And it's not easy.
So you really got to go against instinct.
Pardon?
You really got to go against your natural instinct.
Yeah, you do. And that's where reading books like mine and reading as much about it as possible will help you to do that. Because you can remind yourself, oh, this is what that was about. Or this is what he was saying. Or, oh, yes, now I understand. But without that, you're going to just have to experience it and then learn from the experience. And that can be scary.
Yeah, wow.
Because you don't know what to expect.
This is going to be really amazing if we have some good results in this experiment. Holy cow.
Oh, I can't wait.
Me too.
Matter of fact, I don't know how big your audience is, but you will have responses. You will.
It's pretty big.
That's the percentage of how it works.
The majority of
people will have experiences. They may not have it right away. It may not happen tonight or next week. But if they keep practicing it, it will happen.
Now, should we give enough time for everyone to practice a few times?
Yeah, because when you put an urgency to it or a time limit, that causes tension.
Okay.
Tension is the opposite of what you're trying to achieve.
Okay.
So you want it to be this slow, relaxing experience. And not a hurried thing.
Probably what we would do then is set up like several times that we'll try to go in. Not
so that would be probably preferable.
Yeah.
That way people don't feel like, I have to do it tonight. Because just that tension, that excitement and necessity, feeling that there is a necessity, can cause so much tension that the body, the physical body, tenses up and then you'll never even get close to that altered state.
Okay. That's funny. It's going to be amazing. But what we're going to do is we'll post it up. I'm going to practice this, try to battle my issues on
I can't wait to see what happens.
And, yeah, so what we'll do is we'll keep you in the loop and get you involved on the experiment days.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll post everything up, whatever people, you know, have happened. We'll get it in the email. Again, I want to give out your site, alberttaylor.com.
Correct.
And get the book. Get the book.
And you know, Nicole, this is what I tell people. I'm not trying to sell you a book. My book is in the libraries, too. So you can go and get the book and read it for free. You don't have to run out and buy it. Because this is how I look at this. This is not about me selling you anything. This is something I'm so obligated spiritually to assist you with. I'm 110% obligated to help you, not to sell you anything. It's so important. It's not a circus trick.
Mm-hmm.
It's something deeply, deeply spiritual with me.
And I have a feeling that many of us who are listening to you saying that right now are going to know all too well pretty soon exactly how true that is.
I can't wait. I can't wait to hear the feedback.
Me too. And I have like about 2 million more questions for you anyway, so you just have to come back on.
I would love to. It'll be my pleasure.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you being today. Sorry we kept you a little over time there, but...
that's okay.
All in good cause.
Yes.
So get on the e-news. We're going to do this thing. Get to albertaylor.com and get the book, Soul Traveler. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
My pleasure, Nicole.